In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. The epistle lesson for this Sunday, the 15th Sunday after Trinity, is found recorded in the epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Galatians, beginning in chapter 5, verse 25, and continuing into chapter 6, verse 10, and reads as follows. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Now sing hymn 414. The gospel lesson for this Sunday is found recorded in the gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 24 through 34, and reads as follows. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Thank you. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 8 through 16, and reads as follows. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, one of the points that was emphasized in last week's sermon was the oneness of the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, that every single Christian is an equal member and part of that church. That, of course, is an important biblical point to stress. And it is somewhat stressed also in our text for today, but our text for today also stresses a different point, namely, how every member of Christ's church is different. God has made us all different. And that does not merely refer to the different physical attributes that we all have, height, size, weight, and so on. It also includes the spiritual gifts that God has decided to distribute differently among the members of his church. Just as God gave different gifts to the church at the time of our text, giving some the gifts of healing, some the gifts of prophecy, some the gifts of speaking in other languages that they never before learned, some the gift of understanding languages that they had never before learned, so also today, God, in his wisdom and grace, has chosen to give different spiritual gifts in different degrees among his people. Now, that fact should be acknowledged, but it should not cause anyone to become upset or jealous if they notice in others certain gifts that they wish they had, but they don't. Instead, we should all try to acknowledge the spiritual gifts that God has given to each one of us, and to use those gifts wisely, not in a self-serving way, but to glorify our Lord and Savior and to help our fellow Christians. Therefore, on the basis of our text for today, let us focus our attention upon this theme. Let us make good use of the spiritual gifts that Christ has given us. On the basis of our text, we shall first consider the point that the ascended Christ gives abundant spiritual gifts to his church. And secondly, that we should all use our various spiritual gifts for the benefit of Christ's church. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. The fact that the ascended Christ would bestow great gifts upon the members of his church was foretold in the Old Testament in Psalm 68, verse 18. And this verse of Old Testament prophecy is quoted by the Apostle Paul in the first verse of our text for today, where we read, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." exalted in the heavens. Jesus has taken sin, death, and the devil captive so that they cannot take us captive or make us fearful. And from his exalted throne in heaven, Christ dispenses various different spiritual gifts to the members of his church. Now, it should be remembered that the greatest spiritual gift is one that every single Christian has, and that is the gift of saving faith. The gift of the Holy Ghost, whereby we trust and believe, rejoice and take comfort in Jesus as our only Savior from sin. That is truly a wonderful gift, a miraculous blessing, which we could not bring about in ourselves. For the Bible teaches that by nature we're all spiritually blind and dead enemies of God. Therefore, we cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to him, as Luther says. No one is capable in his natural condition of making himself change, making himself a believer. But, thankfully, God has, through the power of his word, bestowed saving faith upon you and me. Faith in Christ is a wonderful gift of God to us. As St. Paul writes to the Philippians, "Unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ to believe on him." What a tremendous gift of the Spirit this is. It far excels all the other spiritual gifts. This is the gift that delivers us from the wages of our sins, saves us from hell, makes us heirs of heaven. Through this gift, every Christian is, as we covered in last week's sermon, a saint before God, declared holy and righteous in the blood of the Savior. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he was not leaving, really, or abandoning his church. Our text for today tells us that he fills all things. That means he's always with us. And he provides for us in our ongoing spiritual needs. And he does this by sending people to preach his word. We read in our text, "Now he that ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." You'll remember that 10 days after his ascension into heaven, it was the day of Pentecost, in which Jesus poured out upon his disciples the Holy Ghost, so that they were able to speak in languages that they had never before learned. They were filled with boldness and spiritual wisdom. And so even though he had removed his visible presence from this earth, Jesus, the great prophet and caretaker of his church, sent men to preach and bring others into the saving Christian faith. Our text mentions that he sent apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Now, the only one of those groups that still continue down to this present day is the final group, pastors and teachers. Our text says that the reason why Christ sent people to preach his word like that is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That first phrase there, the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting means bringing to completion. The saints, as was already mentioned, the Christians. So this work includes bringing Christians to a more complete understanding of spiritual matters. The phrase work of the ministry literally means the work of serving. The work of serving the spiritual needs of Jesus' believing children. The edifying of the body of Christ. To edify means to build up or to strengthen. The body of Christ is a reference to his holy Christian church, the communion of saints. So the believers are edified, built up, and strengthened through the preaching of God's word. Now, if pastors are doing the job that Christ has given them faithfully, preaching and teaching the Word of God in its full truth and purity, and if the people are accepting the instruction with humble and believing hearts, then the body of Christ will be edified. The various members will be brought into the unity of the true faith. They will become mature Christians who are not easily deceived by false teachers. Our text refers to this God-intended effect when it says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect," meaning complete or mature, "man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Even though Jesus praises a childlike faith, which means an unquestioning trust in everything that the Bible says, we should not have a childlike trust in just anything that anyone says. That's what our text warns about. That's what causes a person to be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. Oh, there are many false prophets who are, as our text says, lying in wait to deceive, who would seek to lead us away from the pure truth of God's word. We're not simply to nod our heads and accept whatever any of them have to say. But of course, if a pastor is faithfully preaching and teaching in accordance with the scriptures, then obviously the members of the congregation should accept that instruction in childlike, humble faith and trust, because it's the Word of God. And when a pastor is faithfully bringing God's Word to the people, he is rightly using the spiritual gifts that God has given him. In like manner, each one of you are to seek to use the various spiritual gifts that God has bestowed upon you for the benefit of your spiritual brethren, your fellow Christians. Now, the most obvious way you can do that is by bringing them the Word of God, by using both law and gospel properly for their instruction and edification. Instead of being immature or unproductive in your Christian faith, you should be built up yourself in the Word and seek to build up your fellow Christians with the same Word. And this is what our text for today describes when it says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Obviously, speaking the truth in love to your brethren means speaking that which is in full accordance with God's word of truth. It certainly includes using his law to rebuke sinful behavior and using his gospel to comfort those who are penitent, sorry for their sins. Since this is vitally important for the spiritual welfare of our brethren, that is what love for the brethren will move us to do. So yes, speak the truth in love. It should be our goal to become more mature in our own Christian faith and understanding. And then we'll have the ability to use the spiritual gifts that God has given us to help our brethren. The way that we all grow together in these spiritual gifts by the power of the Holy Ghost working in us is through the power of his word. Christ wants you to use whatever spiritual gifts he has given you to glorify God, to glorify your Savior, but also to build up, strengthen, edify one another with the gospel. Each one of us are members of the body of Christ. As in a normal human body, it's comprised of many members with many different functions, many different abilities. But the individual members of the body don't just serve their own good, but they serve the good of the whole body. And so it is in the church, the spiritual body of Christ. This is how the spiritual body of Christ is described in our text, where we read, "From whom," namely Christ, "the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." That's what you and I, as individual members of the body, should be seeking to do, building up and strengthening the whole body. Using those special spiritual gifts that God has given you, don't just use them for yourself. Use them to glorify God. Use them to help your fellow Christians. We are all engaged in spiritual battle with the devil, the world, and our flesh. We can use all the help we can get. God supplies us with that help and strengthening through His Word. So if you're in a position to bring that powerful Word to someone in need, then definitely do it. If you have an opportunity to instruct someone in the Word of God, take that opportunity. Bring the instruction. You know the Word of God. Use it. If you're in a position of admonishing someone, you see someone engaging in sinful behavior, and you're in a position that you can correct that, well, then do it. Again, show your love for the individual and your love for God by using His Word in that way. Now, at this point, some of you may be thinking, but that's not my spiritual gift. My spiritual gift really isn't a good speaker. I don't speak all that well. That's totally beside the point. You don't have to be an eloquent speaker. All you have to do is know the Word of God yourself. And if you do know the Word of God yourself, which you do, then you can bring that Word to those who need to hear it. So be filled with a deep love for your Savior. Be filled with a deep love for your fellow human beings. And then let that love move you to bring forth from the abundance of your heart words, the Word of God. And then you'll be using the special spiritual gifts that God has given you to His glory. For Jesus' sake, amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. Let us rise to pray. O God, thou living God, we give thee heartfelt thanks and praise for all thy goodness and mercies. But most heartily and earnestly do we glorify thee for the precious gift of thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, whom thou didst send to deliver us from the due reward of our sins, and by whose resurrection thou hast guaranteed unto us the unfading crown of life everlasting. Grant unto us, O Heavenly Father, sincere faith in thy power and goodness, that we may ever trust in thee for all our daily needs of body and soul, that we may fulfill the duties of each day without fear and anxiety for the morrow, knowing that thou orderest all things in heaven and on earth according to thy word, and carest for all thy children everywhere. We therefore beseech thee to bless our brethren in Nigeria and Russia, granting them thy gracious help in every need. Let thy word dwell in us richly in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that in love and in the fulfillment of thy commandments, we may assist one another in all our trials and infirmities. Grant that in all our works of mercy, we may have special regard for those of the household of faith. Endow the members of thy church with the spirit of humility and compassion, that the love of Christ may shine forth in love and kindliness toward the fallen, the wayward, and the heavy laden. And strengthen thy servants everywhere, that they may not grow weary in well-doing. By thy Holy Spirit, help thy church to confess unceasingly and proclaim unwaveringly the doctrines of the Bible in all its truth and purity. And to this end, dear Lord God, help us to find men in the congregations of our conference in whose hearts thou hast placed the desire for the pastoral office which thou hast ordained, that in the years to come, our congregations may continue to flourish in the knowledge of thy word under their guidance and leadership to the glory of thy holy name. Graciously bless Pastor Leitz and his congregation. And if it be thy will, grant him the strength, stamina, and ability to continue serving thee in the performance of his pastoral duties. Hear our prayers for the sake of our dear Savior and Redeemer, in whose name we furthermore pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou hast given us body and soul, and hitherto bountifully provided us with all the necessities of life, even far more than we need, and certainly much more than we deserve. And we beseech thee, strengthen, confirm, and uphold our faith, that trusting fully in thee and seeking thee in thy kingdom before all other things, we may avoid all greed and anxiety, and by thy grace overcome every affliction. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing verse 7 of hymn 462.